Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Ensign's Log. I'm Lieutenant Commander Splunk.
And I'm Secret Ensign Johnson. I like the sound of that. I'm getting used to that.
You're getting used to Secret Ensign? Yeah. That
was... Secret Ensign.
Yeah.
Shh. Don't say it too loud. Somebody might hear you.
In the old-timey days, that could have been a TV show. Shh. Secret Ensign Johnson.
Yeah.
Now in color.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, I know.
I'm Lieutenant Dana Clifton.
Yay, we're all here.
Yay. Well, no, we're not, because you're still stuck over there.
I know, I'm still, and I'm more alone than ever, because Tina and Barash are...
You could have, started on this, months ago, but did you?
Look, Starfleet Command says that I'm an officer with complications, and I'm getting sick of it. I want them to approve it so I can go, but they, Tina got approved.
Well, if you started the process earlier, the process would have ended sooner.
So Tina packed all of their stuff, her stuff and Brosh's stuff. We had a long goodbye, and I've been here by myself, and things are gone bonky nutters on the goddamn Enterprise, and I have no one to talk to.
What's gone bonky nutters? Okay, you first, because Dana and I have some bonky nutters stuff to talk about.
Have you guys ever heard of Kales?
No.
It's like a Klingon thing, isn't it?
He's like the Klingon guy. He's the dude that made up all the rules about honor and all this other stuff. He's in all their legends.
I remember Worf mentioning him. Worf used to talk about Klingon stuff at work sometimes. Yeah, he's like a big Klingon religious figure.
Well, apparently he's alive again. How? I don't know, but he's on the ship.
Didn't he die like 1,000 years ago or something?
Yeah, he died like 1,000 years ago. It'd be like if, Howdy Doody. If Howdy Doody was suddenly, I don't know. I think he was a philosopher from ancient Earth. I've heard him say Howdy Doody. I've heard Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody, ancient Earth philosopher, just...
Right, just suddenly appeared and said, I'm back, and we're all... And so now there's a big thing, and everyone's arguing and all this other shit, so...
Sounds like, normal for the Enterprise.
Well, here's the problem. Kales is going to be emperor. He's gonna come back to go back to Kronos and become emperor of Klingons.
He just showed up.
And he just showed up in front of Worf.
You
Worf
can be
was like,
now.
Worf was on some kind of meditation planet or a moon or something, and then Kales showed up, and now he's come back here, and there are Klingons here, and they're all like, "That's not what's happening because Klingons don't have an emperor."
The current Klingons are just okay with handing power over to somebody else.
No, that's why everyone's freaking out. There are people taking sides. Some people believe he's actually Kales, and they come back and they're worshiping him. And then there are other people who are like, nope, we like having a high chancellor. Gowron's going going crazy.
So it's another excuse to fight.
Well, kind of is. Yeah.
Do you know what I think this is going to turn out to be?
What?
This is going to turn out to be some plot by some Klingon who wants to return the Empire to his glory days. Because that's what it always is.
And here's the thing. What are the glory days for the Klingons? What are they?
When they were fighting everybody.
When they nearly went extinct. Right? Those are the glory days.
Think of all the times that there's been some Klingon shit happened. And the Klingons went to war, or almost went to war, or whatever. It always turned out to be there was some one Klingon guy, or one small group of Klingons, and they were manipulating all this stuff because they wanted to return the Empire to the glory. It's like, that's all they can think to do. That's all they ever do.
Well, I mean, they've gotten over it for the most part. I mean, there are some people who want to go back to, fighting all the time, but... It's their culture. They've got a long road.
Fighting all the time. Starting wars with everybody is their culture.
Wait, up until
and
they
we should respect that. No,
up until
you.
They made friends with us, they fought everybody.
I looked
now
it
they
up
just fight almost everybody.
Now they fight people who we also fight. So that's nice to have, a great big tough guy who loves to fight in your corner. But
I can't remember if we've talked about this on the show before, but I looked it up because this all happened when we did our time jump and we missed like a century. But the whole reason why the Klingons made friends with us in the first place was because one of their moons blowed up and they were running out of air on their home planet.
That isn't what I heard.
And they were like, oh, okay. Let's be friends now. Can we be friends now?
That isn't what I heard at all.
What did you hear?
I heard that the Enterprise C saved a Klingon transport vessel from Romulan attack and was destroyed protecting them. And the Klingons went, maha! humans have honor, and that's what opened up the whole thing.
I think it was the moon blowing up
thing. I don't think it was the moon blowing up thing.
Why couldn't it be both?
Well,
because they're separated by a long period of time. But
yeah, the moon blowing up thing happened like a long... Well, okay, the Enterprise-C thing happened like 20 or something years ago anyway, too. But like the moon blowing up thing was like way long ago.
Yeah, but they didn't become our friends then. They only became our friends after that.
All right, fine. The point is, that's what this Kaelas thing is going to turn out to be. It's going to turn out to be some plot by some Klingon who wants to return to the old ways.
Don't tell me we're going to have another Klingon Civil War.
Probably.
Sooner or later, if it's not this, it's gonna be something else.
They've run out of people to fight, and all they want to do is fight themselves now.
There you go.
But I mean, if you think about it, you go around the galaxy, you're beating everybody else up, and then all of a sudden you go, you know what? It's nice to have friends, and so you make friends with the Federation, and in essence, you're making friends with how many members are in the Federation Council, right? I mean, they're not part of the Federation. We're just friends with them. They're our allies.
Friends, yeah.
Right. That's got to be weird for their entire culture to go from, let's kill everybody, to it's nice to have friends. There's going to be, like, things like this. Growing pains.
So how long of a period of adjustment should we give them?
I don't know. Has this happened before?
Don't ask me.
They try to start wars, like, every couple years.
Yeah, but, I mean, we haven't had an experience where there was someone like the Klingons and we made friends with them beforehand. This is a gray area.
I guess. I don't know. Well, I'm sorry that you're having to deal with the Klingon.
Well, there's not a whole lot for me to deal with, per se.
Well, you all over there on the Enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's rough.
It's stupid. I just wish they would do it on their own ship. Why do they have to do it on our ship? Just because Worf was there.
Well, I guess that's why.
Because Worf was there, yeah.
Kaelas walked up to me and said, "So this is the human that Worf has been training in the Batleth." I said,
"Congratulations."
Yeah. I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I want to spar with you. He'll kill me. Kill me. This is Kaelas, the guy who invented the Batleth, and wants to fight me. He'll kill me."
Oh, so he's like a Klingon engineer. Maybe he's not good at fighting.
No. Kaelas is good at everything. According to legend, he's good at everything. You know, according to legend, he took hairs out of his own head and plunged them into lava. And when he pulled it out, it was a Batleth.
Sure. That's a pretty amazing story. Hey, I have one that I bet can top it.
What?
You know who came in? I won't. Technically, he didn't come into the bar for a drink. But you know who stopped by the bar for a drink earlier today?
No, who?
Paul Bunyan.
What? How did he even... Wait, what?
Paul Bunyan, like, you know, from the old folktale on Earth.
The giant log man?
Yeah, Paul Bunyan. He couldn't fit inside. He had to stay out on the promenade where the ceiling is higher. But yeah,
Wait. I'm not really totally up on ancient Earth myths. Is Paul Bunyan the guy who pooped out huge logs?
I think so. Yeah, he's okay. The guy with the big axe. And he was like,
okay,
a logger.
So
he was like a
how did this mythical character wind up on board your goddamn space station?
He's not the only one. There's a bunch of different stuff happening.
Yeah, what?
The walls are on fire.
What?
Stop it.
What's going on?
Here's what happened. So nobody knows why yet. Apparently the senior officers are trying to figure it out. But just lately, when people like imagine things or they just thought about something or it's like a subconscious thing or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It manifests itself in reality. It becomes real. So
that explains what
Paul Bunyan...
Miles meant. I was talking to Miles earlier. He was trying to get me to... I'm telling him, look, things are tied up with Starfleet. They're not releasing me yet. And he says, oh, just a second. I've got to go. Rumpelstiltskin is here. And I thought he was joking about something.
No.
So there's a Rumpelstiltskin running around on...
I haven't seen Rumpelstiltskin, but I've heard... and also apparently... the station commander's favorite baseball player from like 200 years ago is walking around doing stuff.
Okay.
Odo was chasing birds around.
So things from your guys' imaginations are just there.
Imagine your subconscious, like that kind of thing, yeah.
And so, Steve, your imagination is making a guy who poops out huge logs.
No, that wasn't mine.
No, that was
somebody else's.
Who's came to the bar.
Oh.
Yeah, he stopped by for a drink.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is yours? Okay. Yeah, did he pay? Did he pay in a huge...
He gave me a giant novelty penny and said, this should cover it. No, he didn't pay. He didn't have any money. Whoever imagined Paul Bunyan didn't imagine him with some latinum in his pocket, unfortunately.
Okay, well, what are you imagining?
It's immaterial.
Hey, now, what is he imagining?
Women. Are you surprised?
Oh, okay. There's a big surprise. Are they all the women from his holodeck programs?
No, okay.
I don't know. It's just a whole bunch of women. There's a whole bunch of women in the bar.
Yeah, so, okay.
Are they clothed? Are they wearing clothing? Are they, like... What are they doing?
It fluctuates. Sometimes they, like, fight and take off each other's clothes.
Oh, okay.
That only happens once in a while. Usually they're yelling at him.
And it's not like a naughty karate thing. Yeah, no, they're being... First of all, it's women from... Okay, like, I guess women that I had, you know, a crush on or had an interest in the past at some point.
Oh, like Ensign Row?
Ensign Row's there. Yes, there's a... I mean, imaginary
Ensign Row. Tasha Yar?
Tasha's there, which is weird, but Tasha's
Dr. Crusher?
There. Dr. Crusher's there. Yes. Okay. Your sister's there.
Oh, God. But they're not real. Yeah. I mean, they're just imaginary.
They're imaginary. Yeah, they're not real.
Okay.
Lenore.
Lenore's there?
Well, of course Lenore's there.
I've never actually technically met Lenore because it was... reality.
Which one was Lenore?
Lenore was like the crazy woman that doesn't exist.
I know, but I don't know what she looks like. I've never seen her.
The blonde one. The little blonde one.
Here, have her come over to the microphone. I would love to meet her.
I thought the blonde one was I thought you said that was Tasha.
Tasha's blonde too.
Tasha's the taller blonde one with short hair in the Starfleet uniform. The old Starfleet uniform from a few years ago. Lenore is the one in, like, the patterned dress, and she has the longer blonde hair, like, down
long
her shoulders.
Hair.
I want to say hi to her. I don't have any memory of any of the memories.
You're going to fill out your paperwork soon enough.
They're really mean.
Jason, Jason would like that.
Yeah. Why would I like that?
Because they're being mean to Steve.
Oh, yeah, I would like that. I would like to say hi, though.
Okay, Lenore?
I mean, I know she's not really Lenore, but I mean...
It's not really Lenore, but she answers to Lenore.
But now when Steve talks about Lenore, I'll have something in my head, right?
Jason wants to talk to you. Can you come over
Steve,
and just...
Steve, take a picture.
Okay.
Of the two of you.
Together.
Oh, hey, okay.
You know what? I'll do a screen grab as soon as she comes over.
Okay, Lenore, come over here.
All right.
Okay. This is Lenore.
Hi, Lenore.
Say hi, Lenore.
Who am I saying hi to?
Hi, I'm Steve. I'm Jason. I'm Steve's
best friend.
How you doing?
Well, I'd be doing better if I wasn't among all these other women.
Okay, well, you know, that's Steve.
You faithless.
No.
Whoa.
Seem pretty upset.
Yeah.
Lenore?
I can show you how I'm feeling.
No,
right
don't.
Now.
Okay. Is that an imaginary knife or is that like a real knife?
Does it feel like a real knife against your throat?
I'll show you.
It feels pretty real.
Just the point. Look, that's not much blood.
No, okay. It's okay. Ow.
What did you used to say when she did this to you back in the other reality?
Oh, let me try to.
Ow.
Let me try to remember our safe word. Please stop. Please stop. Please, God, stop, Lenore. Please.
That's not it.
Don't kill me.
Oh no, you said that a lot too. Here.
Pretty good memory for a
second
of my imagining.
I'll press a little hard.
Could you just please not?
Oh.
Lenore, you know what he really loves is if you go back to his quarters and then surprise him when he comes in. Because I guarantee you he's gonna have such a long day. When he walks in, he'll be terrified and happy to see you. No, he'll leave the other women in the bar.
I can't pay attention to the other women right now because I'm doing the show.
Because we've got the podcast. We've got the podcast.
Yes.
It's going to be okay. But I miss you.
I miss you too. I miss you too, Lenore. Hey, there might be, you know what? How about I get some of the other girls to come back with you, and while you're waiting for me, you can kill a couple of them. That might be nice, right? Like old times?
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Steve, I'm kind of worried. Jason, did you get the screenshot?
I got, I got one with them smiling. I got one with her holding the knife up against his throat. And then I got one of her holding the knife up against his throat while grabbing his crotch. I'm probably going to get rid of that one.
Screen, is your screen different? Because, like, I don't
that'll
see
be a nice series.
I zoomed out on mine.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
What a great photographer. Anyway, Dana, what were you saying?
Hey, Dana, why are you confined to quarters? Because you're not in the bar. How come the back wall keeps setting on fire and then going out behind you?
Yeah, that is. Tell Jason that story, Dana.
Apparently I've always been afraid of fire, but you know they've told us that it's all in our imagination. So like I don't really. Of course, Steve, your neck isn't looking so good.
Yeah,
well,
you might want to.
I was poked at it with a knife several times.
Dab it a little bit. You grab a cocktail napkin.
No, my point is that it seems to have inflicted an actual wound.
Yeah, and
oh, it did.
And the fire in your room seems to be actually burning things in your quarters.
Yeah, that's why it is healthy to be afraid of fire.
Well, thank God the station alarms are setting off those force fields to put out the fires as soon as they start, because otherwise...
Yep, otherwise I'd be in some serious trouble. As it is, I'm just, you know, highly uncomfortable here because, you know, of my apparent... So this is apparently one of the things about myself that I must have forgotten.
What's that?
I'm afraid of fire.
You're afraid of fire?
Yeah, like, it apparently, like, deep in my subconscious...
Seem afraid at all.
Well, that's because there's the force field there, so I'm protected. And also, the podcast is very important, and I'm trying to focus on that so that I'm not thinking about the fire that's back there, like, on my in my fucking quarters.
who's the guy wandering around behind you that looks drunk? He's a Bajoran dude.
Maybe
I noticed
saw somebody,
that too. I didn't
yeah,
want to
me
say
too.
Maybe I saw somebody, you know, get killed. And you know I was down on Bajor recently.
You saw someone get killed?
No, I mean, I don't know. The fire seems to be real. I don't know how well this is.
Yep.
So maybe it was somebody that I saw when I was down there and, you know,
saw a juggler, a Bajoran juggler who's juggling fire.
Are people having like a party at your quarters?
Yeah, are you having a party? Yeah, that's weird.
Well, when I went, remember I went out to that village. Right?
Yeah, and you fell in that hole.
Yeah, you were in a hole for days.
I think somebody pushed me.
Okay, someone pushed you into a hole, but regardless.
I'm not that clumsy.
No matter how you got into it, you were in a hole.
At any rate.
And apparently no one could get you out of the hole.
There was some kind of fire thing that was in like the major cities and stuff before I got out to the provinces.
The gratitude festival at the fire caverns.
There were lots of fire there.
I'm sure there was lots of fire and probably lots of Bajorans.
So you go. So now I'm associating them, and I'm hoping.
So you're free associating fire caverns with being in a hole, and that's why you have fire and jugglers.
And also, you're afraid of fire. Isn't it kind of a coincidence that you're afraid of fire and also you were just on Bajor during the Gratitude Festival that has like a fire motif?
Well, I didn't know that. I mean, you know.
And now you have a fire thing happening.
But she was in a hole, Steve.
They give you an assignment and they tell you you're going to go off and you know, learn about this culture. They you know, do the ancient ways. And
remember, they lowered.
They don't tell you about all the fire.
They lowered a monkey down to her with a sandwich.
Yeah, you told me about that. That's how they kept. That's how they fed you while you were stuck in the hole.
It was Hasperat, a Bajoran monkey, and Hasperat, not a sandwich, but you know, same thing.
Yeah, Hasperat is more of a wrap than.
At least that's what you told your superior officer and us. You told us you were in a hole
because the monkey ate most of the Hasperat. First couple of days, I would like pick off the parts the monkey had eaten, and I'd eat from the other end of it. But then I'm desperate. You get desperate, and then it's just like you just
sure.
You know what it's like to fight a monkey
sure.
from your own.
I don't.
That food was meant to be. It was not meant to be a monkey.
So the monkey was really wanted that food.
I didn't realize yes. you were battling the monkey for your own food.
And you
it
know
was
what else?
To be for me.
And you know what else? Hasperat is really spicy.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hasperat is really spicy, so that's probably also why
yeah.
you're having visions of fire.
Made that monkey angry at you.
That monkey was... The monkey had, like,
well,
a taste for the spicy.
That's right. Or his mouth was on fire.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the monkey was hungry, but also he was mad because the
yeah.
food was spicy.
Because it made his mouth feel
mm-hmm.
sure.
I mean, granted, you know, Bajoran monkeys do look different with that purple hair.
Yeah.
I was less worried about the hair and more worried about the claws. Like,
I got you. Monkeys on Bajor aren't purple.
But
and you know what else
looking
is?
At the hair.
They're green with
the
stripes.
And you know what else
okay.
is really funny is that if you had this traumatic experience in the hole with a monkey, why aren't there monkeys in your quarters because of the?
In addition, how come there's no monkey scars? You have no monkey scars from your battle with the monkey.
Well, they shoot you with those little doohickeys, and then you get all better.
Okay, why are there two Bajorans making out behind you in the fire?
I don't know.
They seem a little drunk, too.
They seem a little drunk. Yeah,
okay,
maybe
Dana.
That's why they're making out, because they're drunk.
Okay,
Dana.
But what I'm just saying is that if you're having... Why aren't you dreaming about monkeys taking your sandwiches?
Because monkeys taking my sandwiches... I survived. Okay, but a fire is death.
That's a trauma, sure. Dana, can I ask you a question?
Can I stop you?
No, I'm gonna ask the question.
Okay.
I'm just
yeah,
being polite.
Yeah, sure, whatever, Steve. Go ahead, fine.
This isn't this isn't a personal attack. Okay, and this
I
isn't
think you're
me.
Lying.
I'm not
I
trying
think...
to trap you, and I'm not trying to judge
I
you.
Think
we're,
you're
all,
lying.
We're all friends here. We're friends
uh-huh.
here.
You
we're
trust
here.
Me, don't you? You
and
trust
yeah,
me.
I do. And,
uh-huh.
and I trust that you're going to give me an honest answer to this. Because, listen,
uh-huh.
I'm going through something, too. I finally got the bar cleared of all my imaginary ex-girlfriends and crushes, okay? Lenore is in my quarters right now, probably killing some of them. So, you know.
Imaginarily.
Like that's, imaginarily, yeah. So, like, I'm dealing with that. And everybody on the station is dealing with something similar, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you've got fire going on everywhere. I just want to ask, were you really in a hole with a monkey bringing you food and then fighting you for it?
Well, the monkey was just carrying the food.
I think that's exactly what I just said. The monkey was bringing you
exactly
food.
What you just said, but whatever.
Someone gave the monkey, but I'm just, is that what really happened?
Yes!
So you didn't actually just go to the Bajoran Gratitude Festival in the fire caverns and you made up the I fell in a hole story to explain why you were gone. That's
what?
Not
yeah.
happened.
What? 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 No, how would I have the information?
Dana, there's
about
a very there's
the
a very tall
Bajoran
dude behind you trying to get your attention.
Well,
are you coming to the pleasure circle? Are you coming, Dana? It won't be the same without you. I'll keep your first warm.
You have to wait until the podcast is over.
Okay, all right, I'll be there. I'll be waiting.
Great.
Is that something that happened to you in the hole as well?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Did a hunky Bajoran man ask you to come to the pleasure circle?
Did the hole have a pleasure circle? How big a hole were you trapped in?
Yeah, was it a cave or a hole?
Because a pleasure circle, I'm not sure what a pleasure circle is, but it...
You're married, Jason.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
You shouldn't be ogling other people when you're
I'm
married.
Not ogling anybody. You're my...
Who said he was hunky?
Well, okay.
He
was undeniably an attractive man, but I'm not like,
he
oh, I want to...
I
don't want to break off a piece of him and eat it. I just... He was an attractive dude.
I'm just saying, I'm not the one, you know, checking dudes out and calling them hunky.
Okay, Dana,
both of you are.
Dana, my best friend has been lying to his superior officers to go fuck off and do something that he wasn't supposed to be doing for decades.
That's me.
I am your great grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
I will not, you know, rat you out. Okay? I will not tell your superiors, oh, no, no, she was not in a hole. She was definitely at the fire caverns getting her, you know, bean flicked by a hunky Bajoran dude.
If that is, in fact, what happened.
If that's what was happening.
But I fulfilled the requirements of my assignment, didn't I?
What
I
was your...
With the to
oh, the linguistic assignment for the thing?
In the early, or the early Bajoran.
Yeah, but maybe that took you, what, 10 minutes, and then you had plenty of time? And...
Maybe you had some time left over. Right? Or maybe you realized that the Bajoran...
that little of my skills as that... That you think
maybe
you
realize.
I think that you're so proficient that it only takes you 10 minutes to do it.
And you realize while you were down there that the Bajoran Gratitude Festival was going on, and you thought, gee, sure would be nice if I could.
And there was a great big hunky Bajoran going, why don't you join us in the fire caverns?
How can. I mean, guys.
Yeah?
You guys are my, you know, I've worked with you.
We're your ride or dies now, and I'm your great grandfather.
Exactly.
So you need to tell us. You can tell us.
You don't. You know we've had each other's backs.
Okay, one second. I got to talk to her like your great grandfather. Did you do something in those fire caverns that you're embarrassed about? Did you maybe do something that you'd never done before with someone else?
I am just astonished. What you really think? Would I lie to you?
You know, like butt stuff. You know, you'd never done it before, and then all
and
of a sudden you did it.
Make you do something you were.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
and you were like,
is. "That's what you're projecting." You're projecting.
Maybe you liked
don't
it a lot.
Trust me.
Okay, I just want an explanation.
You're literally projecting fire onto your walls.
I did because I'm afraid that fire is dangerous. Okay?
You're not afraid at all, and there are people walking around with drinks.
There's a force field between it. That's the keeps me safe. If the force field, oh god. Just because I said that, you made me say that, and now the fire is going to consume all of
okay,
them.
Okay, I don't think that's happening.
That's not happening.
I think you're just pretending because the fire doesn't look like it's getting any worse.
Yeah, there's a Bajoran quartet walking by playing a song.
Well, I guess I can relax if the force field's still there.
Okay, why are you doing this?
Why?
It's not like I'm gonna
doing this on purpose, Jason.
Not like
I'm gonna get in any.
Said?
Yeah. I mean,
you're not gonna get in any trouble.
We're not blaming. I mean, I'm sure even the station commander, he said it. Some baseball dude's walking around.
Yeah.
Right.
You think if Babe Ruth or whoever it is like takes a bat to somebody?
Yeah.
Commander Sisko is gonna get blamed for it. No,
we're gonna judge Commander Sisko? No.
Nobody's gonna care.
I bet Odo would.
Oh, well, Odo's just...
That's Odo's job. Odo, yeah.
I want to know what Odo's imagining, if they even works on him, if he has anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? All I'm saying
is... I don't know anything, because I'm stuck in here because of the fire.
Dan, if you weren't stuck in a hole, but you did have a fun time at the fire caves, that's fine with us. We don't care. We're not going to rat you out to your superior officer.
You do care, because you don't trust me.
We care more that you don't trust us to tell us the truth.
That's right. If the truth
is... Yeah, but you didn't trust me first because you started interrogating me.
No, we started to suspect. That's not a... There's a difference.
If the truth is that you're imagining your walls on fire because of a just completely out of left field fear of fire that you
that and when you finally made it back to the station, you had a giant hickey on your neck.
I had my memory wiped.
Yeah, you had a giant hickey on your neck when you got back to the station.
No, I didn't.
You did, and you said the monkey did it.
That wasn't a hickey.
What was it then?
The monkey didn't give me a hickey. The monkey bite.
It was a monkey bite.
The monkey attacked you there. Yes, I understand, but it looked exactly like a hickey.
Jason, have you ever seen a hickey on me before?
On you? No.
See, there you go. You don't know what a hickey looks like on me.
I know what a hickey looks like in general.
And not only do we know what hickeys look like in general, but we have both seen monkey hickeys many times before.
Wait, what? I haven't seen a monkey hickey.
Yes, you have. Remember?
No, we haven't. When?
Yes, you have on Fagorius 8. Like back.
Oh, I saw a monkey. Okay, yeah, this is true. On Fagorius 8, I did see a monkey hickey on Steve.
Yeah, a monkey gave me a hickey, and it has a very distinctive. You know, it doesn't look just like. It doesn't look.
The monkeys there look a lot like. look a lot like humans, and Steve was a little there drunk.
There you go. See, because I was an abjured monkey.
That's right.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is monkeys. I mean, come on.
If you got your freaky on with a Bajoran dude during the Gratitude Festival, we're not going to judge you for it, because my best friend has gotten in more weird situations with more alien species and things he shouldn't have gotten it on with.
That's
and
right.
You judge him for it all the time.
I don't. He's my best friend.
I think you need to look at it from the other end, Dana. He doesn't judge me for it, but even if he did, I have absolutely no shame or guilt about any of that.
Let me put it this way.
You have shame or guilt for this either.
Let me put it this way.
So you're saying that I should just be like you, Steve?
If you have a freak...
I'm sorry that I don't have an imaginary wife.
In this one way... Well, she wasn't always imaginary. She's imaginary now. She was real before, and we weren't ever technically married. So, I mean, just for...
Yeah, they were never. They were never. But here's the thing. Steve constantly getting into these weird situations always makes me prepared for when the next one's coming.
Well, there you go. This is a weird situation.
So if this is a side of you that I need to know about... I need to know about it, so just in case.
You need to know that, you know, we are in a very weird situation, and things are just sort of happening around us, and it's subconscious, and there's...
Okay, the dude from earlier has come back, and he's naked.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't like clothes.
He's gesturing for you.
I can see why he doesn't like clothes.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
See, I move out of the way, and you guys start ogling again.
And we're not ogling anything.
It's hard not to see. I mean,
the way the
camera is framed, it's right there, right next to your face.
It's right over your shoulder.
No, like next to you. Yeah, next to your shoulder. It's right there. Most of it. I mean, some of it disappears out of frame towards the bottom.
It's like a baby elephant trunk, for God's sake.
That's right. There's a lot of physiognomy, and I mean, come on.
Well, how often have you seen naked Bajorans?
I haven't seen any. I've seen one. And I don't want to bring it up because I don't want to bring it up. I don't want to bring it up out of deference to Steve. I don't want to bring that up. But it wasn't a male. But that wasn't a male. She was in the hole when it happened.
You didn't... That's right. You were in a hole. You didn't hear about Jason.
Okay, so Ro, Laren, and Tina and I had a three-way, okay? So that's how I know how female Bajorans look. I don't know how male Bajorans... Now I know what male Bajorans look like.
There you go.
I'm wondering if that's the norm or if that's atypical of a Bajoran male.
Well, I'm sure I can ask around. There's several back there. I mean, because, you know, Ro might not have been a typical female.
That's true. Maybe she was unique. That's true.
Hey, y'all, get naked. There we go.
Hey,
okay.
Wait a minute, Dana. If you've never actually seen these people because you weren't at the festival, then how can you be imagining them accurately?
I said it was going on. And I don't know. Maybe they're not accurate. I'm guessing.
Okay.
It's your imagination.
Okay.
My subconscious.
Okay.
All right. We'll take your word for it.
And you know, I've been broken up with
Royce. Royce.
Yeah, him. I've been broken up with him for a while.
And yeah, you have.
It's been, you know, my imagine. You guys.
No one's judging you.
Things that are going on at the Bajoran Fertility Festival.
Look,
my mind just starts going
gratitude.
Through. If you went down to Bajor and you
gratitude.
Went to the Gratitude Festival and you got a good dicking from a handsome, well-built, super hung Bajoran, great.
I will point out that they are in presumably consensually involved with each other. You know.
Okay.
I didn't cover my eyes and ears and other orifices, you know, completely, and just sort of, they didn't entomb me until I was in the hole and got fed by the monkey who ate most of my food.
So we're, okay, the monkey, we're sticking with the monkey story.
Wait a minute, Steve, maybe both happened.
Did the Bajorans...
Maybe she was stuck in a hole that they were at the fire caverns. They said, we heard that there's a Federation officer stuck in a hole. They all came down. They got out of the hole.
So you were in a hole with a monkey stealing your food, and some of the hunky Bajorans from the nearby Gratitude Festival heard you were in trouble, and they came running completely naked to the hole.
And then zip, and zap, gang, bang. That's what happened?
No! Formed a chain? No.
Oh, okay.
To show your gratitude.
I got out of the hole when the people there there made a ladder. Besides, the Bajorans wouldn't have been able to, like, hang on to each other because they cover their bodies in a flame retardant oil so that they don't get hurt.
Oh, so they're covered in oil.
It's for a flame retardant, that oil.
Yes, okay. It keeps them safe.
Dana, I'm going to have to tell you something. If you don't, just tell us what happened. Steve and I are going to come up with more and more bizarre things that could have. Okay?
We have to. It's our nature.
It's our nature. Now, here's the thing. You could just settle it and just say, okay, here's what happened. I happened to have an orgy during the Gratitude Festival on Bajor, and we'll leave it at that. Okay?
So you don't care about the truth. You just want...
No, we care about the truth.
That I had an orgy. That's what you want.
Well, what is the truth then?
Did you have an orgy?
Yeah. Was it an orgy? You look around. You're looking well... Look everywhere but the camera.
Was it a Bajoran orgy? Was it a Bajorgy?
Oh, I knew.
Please don't invent words, please, Steve. A Bajorgy.
It's a Bajorgy. It's an orgy involving Bajorans.
Yeah.
It's a Bajorgy. Thank you, Dana.
I was honestly wondering if you, Jason. I think you're just jealous.
I'm not jealous. Why would I be jealous?
That you didn't come up with Bajorgy first.
I was in a Bajorgy.
That's,
you know what, if there only needs to be one Bajoran, then I guess I'm the only one.
In fact, the only odd man out right now is you. You haven't had sex with a Bajoran in the last week or so.
I haven't had a Bajorgy.
No.
Even my imaginary Ensign Rowe won't touch me. She was really mad at me.
Yeah, well, that's your imagination. That's not the original. I don't think it works that way. Does it work that way?
You can't control them. They just pop out of your subconscious. You can't make them do what you want. And believe me, I tried. When the imaginary Ensign Rowe first appeared, the first thing she did was knee me right in the groin.
Then when I doubled over and said... If you've been able to change it, she would have taken her clothes off first.
Kneed you in the groin.
Please stop. Then she double axe handled me across the back and knocked me to the floor. So, you know.
What is it with you and wanting women to beat you up?
And then Lenore showed up and stepped on me.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. And she put a knife on you. She put a knife on you right here on camera.
I thought she would have gone for the small of the back.
So I need to know now, what did imaginary Beverly Crusher do to you?
Oh, she just watched. While the others were knocking me around, she helped herself to a drink from the bar and she crossed her legs and she just sipped from her drink while watching.
Okay.
Every once in a while, she would give them tips about like where a nerve cluster was if they wanted to hit me to make it so I couldn't move my arm or to cause the maximum amount of pain.
Please tell me that you have access to a ship's counselor on that space station. Somebody. A mental health professional? Anyone? To talk to Steve?
No, actually, as one of the bartenders, I think I'm kind of the mental health professional. Me and the Ferengi Quark, you know, people kind of talk to us about their problems.
So the options they have are you or Quark?
There might be a counselor, but I don't know, like, where they are. No, mostly people come in and tell me about their troubles.
And what do you say?
And I guess I would imagine Quark gets it even worse because he has more business than I do.
Okay, so let's pretend Let's pretend that I am a lieutenant. I was trapped in a hole on Bajor, and then I had an orgy in a fire cavern, and I came up to you and I told you all these things.
You've come into the Happy Bottom Riding Club.
That's right.
Okay.
So what advice would you have for somebody like
that's
that?
That's right. I said, Poncho, help me. And what do you say?
I say, okay, first of all, I'm not Poncho. That's just the name of the place.
Well,
I'm Steve.
Right.
You know, and I would say, well, it sounds like you've had a real rough go of it lately.
Not really.
Not really?
No, once I got out of the hole, it was all...
Why would that person come in and ask for help?
It was all fireproof oil. Maybe they're not square with what they did. It's something they did for the first time, and they liked it, but maybe they shouldn't like it, or...
Maybe, you know what I would say to them? I would say, you know what? If you're feeling... It sounds like you had a really great time... And if you're feeling a little sheepish about telling your closest friends about it, maybe you should just trust that they will accept you for whatever you've done and whoever you are, and you should feel like you can be honest with them.
Gee, thanks, barkeep.
You're welcome, customer. So, would you like to buy some alcohol?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
So what would you say if you if some guy came in and said, you know, I don't trust my friends. What can I do about that? They tell me things and I tell them that they're just making it up and I tell them what I think they should really tell me. What can you help me, barkeep?
I would say you shouldn't lie to your friends. You should just be honest with them about whatever your recent experience has been.
Yeah.
And what if they don't accept the truth?
Is it the truth?
Is it really the truth, I would say, to this hypothetical customer?
This hypothetical male customer.
Hypothetical male customer. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know. I feel like I'm being lied to, but should I just leave it at that?
You guys, come on. You've known me for so long.
We've known you. Well, no. Ever since you lost your memory, you've been a different person. So we don't know.
That was a long time ago, as far as I'm concerned.
But you're still a different person. Old you? I don't know.
That's right. Lie to you, right?
Sure,
and
all the
now
time.
I'm a different person.
A lot. She lied to us a lot.
Yep, and now, like you say, I'm a different person. So now you can trust me.
She lied to us a lot, but we loved her and supported her anyway.
That's true.
So, no reason, hypothetically speaking, no reason for you to lie to us
at this
point either.
We never used your lies against you.
No, we never did. I didn't even keep track of them.
You don't keep track of anything, Steve.
It's true. That's
I wrote a letter of support to Starfleet Command so that you could keep your position in Starfleet when they found out that you were from the Orion Syndicate.
And I wrote a little note at the bottom of it that said, this goes double for me.
That's right.
You even signed your name. And that was very thoughtful of you. I know because it's in the documentation.
I made sure that you're included on the Splunk protocol. So if weird shit comes up, they have a different lens on viewing it. So if you had an orgy, you could tell us.
If you don't want to tell us because it's embarrassing.
But if there is a
lurid sexually explicit explanation for why you're
Yeah, I don't want to hear the lurid part. I just want you to tell me that how. I don't need that either, but I mean that it seems that there were some, or at least you're fantasizing about them.
And women.
I see the women. Yes.
No,
and
absolutely.
Fire.
Yeah, all their clothes have burned off. Yeah.
Lots of fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Whatever. If you don't want to tell us, it's fine.
You don't have, but Dana, just say it. Just say it, Dana.
She's not gonna. You can't make her.
Jason said that it was fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, fine. So you're gonna, you know what? Okay.
If she doesn't want to talk about it, she won't. But okay, I bet some people on Bajor will. There's nothing against us asking people on Bajor. The fire caves have custodians. Let me put it this way, Dana.
If in the next day or so, whenever this subconscious coming to life issue is resolved and we're no longer imagining things and you're not having things go on fire and I'm not having old girlfriends run, once this is all, everything's back to normal.
Yeah.
If a familiar-looking, hunky Bajoran guy happens to come to the station and stop by the bar and ask where he can find you, should I just tell him that you're not interested?
No! Obviously not! If there was a hunky Bajoran guy that I had the opportunity during when I'm not, like, on some sort of business for Starfleet, then I would be glad to sit down with him and ask him what brings him to the station and things like that. I have nothing against Bajorans. We're spending time with them. We're getting to know them a little better.
Apparently.
I have nothing against that. I wouldn't necessarily say no now.
Apparently your imagination is filled with naked Bajoran dudes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think it's going to be just a couple more minutes after we get off this goddamn con.
I bet it hasn't been all that long, though, has it, Dana?
No, it's pretty... Yeah, I saw it. It's pretty long. Ensign's Log is a Let Me Listen podcast production, featuring Steve Shives, Dana Cole, and Jason Harding. Produced by Jason Harding. Music, Secret of Tiki Island, composed and performed by Kevin MacLeod. Find all of Kevin's music at incompetech.com. You can find more Let Me Listen podcasts at lemmelistenpodcast.com. And if you like what we do, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/lemmelisten. And thanks for listening.